Hey everybody, it's Sunny. If you're listening to this, you are listening on the iTunes at all feeds free. It's a service we provide to entice people to join up at the Patreon, which is where the good stuff's happening. Subbeacon.com. Go to subbeacon.com, and we'll have a new episode up this week about Death on the Nile, and then a bonus Patreon exclusive forever episode about Reacher, the new Jack Reacher series on Amazon, which basically involves an enormous dude just wrecking people for like an hour. It's great. Go sign up there. It's as little as $1 a month. You'll love it. Great comment section, etc. There's a community. We have community. But this episode is about After We Fell, which will feature a lovely appearance by Gene. The movie itself is terrible, 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 terrible dog shit. But we did have a good chat about it, which is the important thing. So no real need to see After We Fell. But if you enjoy this episode, you'll enjoy all of our episodes. The Moonfall one last week was pretty great. Go sign up at the Patreon, subbeacon.com, and we'll see you over there, okay?
Pain. Lately, I've become very well acquainted with it. The type that comes when you've been hurt repeatedly by the same person.
You've been gushing about Seattle since the day I first met you.
If he loves you, he could follow you.
I was hoping that we would move to London after graduation.
And how was I supposed to know that? Only in those rare moments when he pulls me to his chest and makes promises he never seems able to keep, does the pain disappear.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Subbeacon. I'm Victor Mattis, along with Jonathan V. Last and Sunny Bunch. Just a reminder, the Subbeacon's now available through Patreon. Go to subbeacon.com. You'll easily find us. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and don't forget about the Subbeacon merchandise store at tpublic.com. Gentlemen, how are we? JVL, what is going down?
Some pretty big news in my personal life. I think I told you guys that I have accepted the head coaching position at Flash's middle school for his middle school team.
Did you say head coach?
Head coach.
Oh my goodness.
Head coach. And I think it turns out I'm also the owner because, you know, it's a small parochial school. They had not budgeted for baseball this year. Then they decided to stand it up only because I said, hey, are you going to stand up a program for him? And if not, you need to get on the horn to the athletic director at the high school and let him play with the varsity at the high school for this season. And they were like, no, this would be great. Would you coach? And so I'm coaching and I'm also buying the uniforms.
You're like little big league.
I guess. But what's important about this is because I'm buying the uniforms.
Oh.
Means I'm designing the uniforms.
Oh, okay. Wait,
and so my full graphic design is my passion. That JVL has erupted and been given full flower. And the unis that I have designed the Crusaders
I'm so terrified.
Are awesome.
Oh, okay. So they have a name. Do they have an official color?
Yeah.
Okay.
They had these teams until right. COVID, mm-hmm. and COVID, you know, blew everything up.
Yes.
And
did you draw? Do we have any schematics for us?
I have a design. I could text it to you if you'd like to see the. I'll send it right now.
Pinstripes.
Anyway,
pinstripes.
So I don't really like pinstripes, and this is. So the truth is, jerseys that are full button are much better, but it doubles the cost.
Oh.
And I am paying for this out of pocket.
No.
So we're going with the V-neck pullovers, and it's a little bit of a modern look, as you see, but I spend a lot of time playing with the fonts.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
A lot of time playing with the fonts.
That's good.
And
that's really good.
And what we don't have yet is I'm going to get the school crest as a patch on the left sleeve.
Oh. You know what it could be? It could be like it would be the equivalent of the lightning bolt on the sleeve for good luck.
Baseball teams all have their logo. The team logo.
I'm making a reference to the natural. Sorry.
Oh. Yeah. I'm very excited about this whole thing, and we are of course
getting one, getting a jersey for Sister Mary Sheila, who runs the school.
Oh, very nice.
And so we're going to get one for her, and I'm very...
Question.
Very excited. Yes, Sonny.
Are you going to make the kids go door-to-door selling highlight subscriptions for the hospitals to pay for these
I am.
Because that's legit.
I am not. But here, you know, so here's a very real question. So the school, as you know, non-Richie Rich schools do, their plan is they're like, this is great because then we can have these uniforms and like use them over and over for next year's team, the team after and the team after that. And I was kind of like, yeah, okay, great. Part of me is like, I don't know, I want these kids to like have their jerseys to like be theirs.
Oh, right. Sure.
But whatever. I mean, I understand. Look, I don't know about you guys, but when I was in high school, uniform day was the coach would bring out a giant canvas sack that was locked away behind some gated closet in the, and just dump it out on the floor of the gym and be like, all right, guys, find uniforms. And you just had to go and pick out like some shirt
What do you mean uniform day? What is this?
For like basketball and track and cross country. And so you just like go through and pick out like, yeah, here's one. I guess this looks like it could be my size. You know, like, and whatever your number was. Like,
Do you have any idea what he's talking about? I have no idea what you're talking about.
What did you guys do when it was time to like get your uniforms for the season?
What do you mean? Gym class?
You mean? For athletics, Victorino, oh, for the sports ball teams.
You mean my Monsignor Donovan tennis shirt? Yeah.
Okay, for the basketball or the football team.
I couldn't tell you. Yeah, I wouldn't know.
Vic didn't play basketball or football. Well, for the tennis team. For the tennis team, we just bought them. It was like they were tennis shirts.
Logo
and
they had the
school name on them, and they were like $20 a piece or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was just like you just like bought them.
You bought.
It was like that was what we had, and we would wear those on game days or whatever, and it was fine.
No, that's not how it was for basketball and cross country at Morristown High School. It was the canvas bag, and it was dumped on the middle floor, and it was like, go try to find a shirt that somebody else has been wearing for a decade and that fits you.
You might have been wearing something that belonged to Keith Elias. Sorry, I know he did go to, it was just a jersey reference, very, very local.
Don't understand that reference.
And I know he did not go, he did go to Princeton. He's my alma mater.
Did you have did you have away day outfits and home day outfits? So like on away day.
The different colors.
Not different color uniforms. What I mean is, so when we had an away tennis match, we wore like tie. You wore a tie. And
for basketball, for away games for basketball, you would have to wear a button-down shirt and
And it was like basically my understanding was that it was basically a sign to your teacher in seventh period when you said you had to leave 15 minutes early to get to the bus,
you had the proof
that they believed you that was like your get out of class free card more or less.
Yeah, we never really had to leave early for games. I don't think we didn't travel real far, but Northern Virginia traffic was different than Jersey traffic.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Anyway, the point is, I had just assumed that kids these days all had, you know, everybody gets their own uniform with their name on it, with both home and
with their
away
name.
Different.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that everything is different, that it's all better. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's the way it is in rich schools or in big public schools, but in this little regional parochial school, it's like, great, we're going to get the canvas bag out.
Wow. So it is sort of a recall to your earlier days.
Yeah.
Wow.
Except that I'm the one designing the unis.
Yes.
But
does that mean that future, do they get to keep those, are you saying? Or that some future kids are going to be getting
some
your design?
Some future kids. I am making the design choices that are going to reverberate
through the ages.
This school for a decade. The power.
Make it
can I
good.
Ask a, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Ask a question. I'm just... what would you call that pattern on the shirt?
That pattern is called digit, actually. You pick the style of shirt, the cut. Mm-hmm. Do you want a crew neck, a V-neck, a two-button top, a full button, et cetera, et cetera. Then within
I like
that,
it.
You pick a base design, which is the, just the, what the background design is going to be. And then from there, you design the font of the words you want on the front, the placement, the style, whether you want them straight across or arced up or arced down. And then the height of the font and the height of the letters. Then you got to figure out where you want your numbers on both the front and the back, how big, what font you want for those, et cetera, et cetera. Shadow boxing, primary color, infill color, secondary. There's a lot of choices. It's very exciting.
You said that they're not going to have, obviously, they're not going to have their names because they're going to be handing it down to future
generations.
They're
not going to have their names.
Yeah. No, I don't think we, our school didn't do that for the high school teams. They didn't have their names.
Yeah, because they used the uniforms over. I guess so. But when you went to a Monsignor Donovan basketball game, those kids, those jerseys that they were wearing, which were tank tops back then, by the way.
Yes, they're tank tops. I think you might have had to wear a t-shirt and then the tank top on top. Yeah.
Those tank tops at the end of the season went back into the bag and thrown into the cage lovely. In the locker room.
That's lovely. Yeah. No, they all. Go ahead.
So, I do think I only wrestled for one season, but I'm pretty sure the singlets that the were like owned by the school. I think that like people weren't buying their own singlets, but also you didn't wear a singlet around the school all day on game day.
Right.
That was not a.
I thought you did.
I thought
you did like a Greco-Roman style wrestling.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, it's like like Olympic style wrestling. Yeah. Right.
But the way
like,
they did it back in the ancient times.
Naked.
Yes.
Nude.
Oiled.
Yes.
Oiled.
Well, that's what. Yes. Well, there were some special practices where the 14-year-old boys did the Greco-Roman.
The seniors made you do it. The seniors.
They had cameras. I don't know whatever happened to those tapes. We didn't get the feedback we were looking for.
Sonny, you went to Holmdel?
I don't know what that means.
They played the Twister. They played Twister, JVL.
I don't know what that means.
Man, who's going to get these references? Anyway.
I don't know. They're good stuff, though, I assume.
Adam Gass.
I assume that there's... there's like seven people that are just rolling aisles right now.
Listen, this is important. Do you remember when we talked about the girl with the frozen hot dog?
Yes.
Right, and that this was
a horrible myth
that happened in every high school had this, and just an urban legend, right? Mm-hmm. Well, one of the urban legends in Jersey back in the early 90s was that this high school, Holmdel, had a scandal in which the varsity football team was caught hazing freshman members by forcing them to play naked Twister and videotaping them.
That was true. Yeah.
And I am telling you, I think it must be true because Vic heard this at his school. I heard it at my school.
Yeah, but it was
Adam Kuyper, who grew up in Holmdel at the same time as us, knew about it as well.
And it was Holmdel, by the way. It was true because when the team came down to play our school, one of our classmates brought out the Twister like thing and wore it as a cape.
The Twister.
And then the teacher stopped and said, "Don't."
Yeah, when we went to the big cross country meet, end of season meet at Holmdel.
That's brutal.
You know, every team brings the little banner that they hang over their campsite. We had our banner, and then we hung a Twister mat underneath it.
Lovely.
Really sticking it to them.
Well, good for you, JVL, being a designer. Congratulations.
It's great. I feel like Tom Ford is there somebody less gay? What?
Tom Ford. That's all I can tell you is Tom Ford.
One of the Gucci's.
Yes.
Paolo Gucci.
Paolo Gucci.
So you like what I've done here? You like my work? I'm going to try to keep my total spend on uniforms under 1,000.
I just want to, my one critique, if I was going to make one critique, I was a little bit surprised by the pattern. On the
you
like
mean
kind
the,
of
dots?
Dots, the dots?
The dots.
Well, it's a fade. It's fading from one fill to it's a gradient to another fill.
Yeah. It's a little bit fancy. Look, I'm old school.
I would have been simple color.
I don't like cotton
t-shirt with a vinyl iron-on number.
I don't like pinstripes. I don't like pinstripes because they're too fancy. I want Oriole gray or Oriole white, you know, with the Oriole logo on the front. Mm-hmm. Just bold colors, just colors, just plain solid colors. That's all I want.
Boo. Well, these blues, these are the two blues that are the school blues.
This is I
so the look, school's colors not, are these two
saying,
blues.
I'm not saying it's not the school colors. I'm just saying that it's a little bit fancy for me. It's a yeah, little it you should.
That's right. We don't. Maybe, this is New Jack Fernando Tatis baseball. We play as loud as we want. We don't go by your stuffy rules, old man.
You should maybe just have one color on the shirt. Just Boo. One color. Boo. That's all I'm saying.
You need two colors, otherwise it can't.
Well, I mean, you have one color, okay. And then the logo could
the
be
logo,
another color.
The logo, yes.
The logo
yes.
could be another.
Right.
But I mean,
that's
if you have
people
like
are
two
be dying to see this.
On top of, I
it's
don't
good.
Know.
You're gonna
I
have to post.
You may have to put
know.
It on the Patreon. Let them see what it looks
clearly
like.
Did,
I don't know. I we'll see. We'll see.
You clearly did a lot of work.
I mean, it's a very nice like. It's a very nice, like, women's Major League Soccer jersey.
It does
very...
look a little soccer-like.
It's a little,
I'm not
you know,
lying
well,
about
so this
that.
Is, can, the no. cut. The cut actually looks a little soccer-like.
Yeah, I was going to say, kind of, it's a little bit Bennett like Beckham. I dig it. That's good. One of my favorite movies. Sonny, how are you? What's going on?
Beanpole Tomboy.
you can't even say that anymore. Good movie. Anyway,
things are great. Yes. Things are
oh,
great
hey,
with me.
Finally. You've turned a corner.
Things are great with me. I'm being very sarcastic because I live in Texas, as you know now, and there's a winter storm. Just ice, just sheets of ice, just pellets of ice, and then it melts a little bit, and then it gets super super icy. It's not going to get above 32 degrees for like 4 days. So anyway, kids are at home. All the children at home again. It's just lovely.
Didn't this literally happen last year? All Texas froze over and you lost power.
Well, no, last year was really, really bad. Cause last year it got down to like, I mean, right now it's cold. Mm-hmm. It's cold. It's like 25 degrees out. So it's cold. But last year it got down to like 6 for like a week straight. It was crazy. Last year was ridiculous.
I saw the pattern for this storm because it doesn't affect JVL and I at all. It's going pretty much straight up and then across. I remember when my good friend Peter Lowe, who's from Dallas, probably doesn't live too far from where you are, and he was telling us in college at the time about how it snowed in Dallas, and we didn't believe him. We're just like, because when you think, think of like the, you know, you think of Dallas, the show, you think of Texas, you think it's hot.
You think of it as like Houston.
Yeah,
you think,
well,
it must be right on the Gulf Coast.
Houston in August. And you're like, there's no, what are you talking about? Maybe once ever. And of course, it's like you get these cold days.
Last year was a real snowstorm too. It snowed like 3 or 4 inches. It was like, you know, not, I mean, it's not like Northern Virginia or Jersey or whatever, but it was like a lot of snow for us. This year, again, this is a more common type of Dallas storm where it's just like, a sheet of ice.
Uh-huh.
It's just, and there's, I mean, we don't have salt trucks.
I was about to ask if you had, do they have trucks or anything that do anything?
No. Right, no, so like, so what the crazy, I mean, the crazy thing the crazy thing about Dallas is that like, this will happen and the streets will be ice for 2 days and then it'll be like 60 degrees and everything will melt.
Okay.
In 3 hours.
All right.
Like it goes from a city of ice to just like open roads in the course of one afternoon. It's crazy. So there's no real point in having, you know, fleets of snow trucks and snow plows and everything. But it's just a real pain in the ass for the next day plus. So today and tomorrow and then it's the weekend. Yay, the weekend.
Well, good news, because the kids won't have school on the weekend, so you get to have them home with you again.
Exactly. It's a nice stretch.
It's so great.
Oh, it's great.
Nice stretch.
4 day weekend.
Yay.
So don't anyway, that's my life.
Okay.
Just trying to. Luckily, I was able to go see. Maybe we'll talk about this next week. Maybe not. I don't know. But I was able to get to a theater and see a press screening of Jackass Forever, which was just. Delightful.
Really?
Those movies, you guys. They're
I've
they're
never gotten into that. I've never
Didn't
gotten
the first
into
one
that.
Opened like $50 million.
Well, the most recent one opened Jackass 3D opened to $50 million. It was crazy. Okay.
I feel like they make a ton of money. Victorina, how are you, buddy?
I'm fine.
A little bit older.
One step closer to the grave. That's true. Yesterday was my birthday. And thank you for those who celebrated. I don't go on.
Celebrate Victorina Madness Day.
I don't go.
Lit a candle.
I don't go on Facebook a lot. And then Kate asked if I wanted to have it on Facebook, and I said yes. That's fine. Let me just see what the picture is, just to make sure, because you can't have anything that's, you know, that makes my head larger than it already is. So I do a lot of trickery with the images. It was fine. I had a lovely dinner. last night.
And where'd you guys go?
La Colleen. La Colleen, I think, was where Ted Kennedy and Chris Dodd did the smashing of the frames, where they might have done the waitress sandwich there. No, this is Cafe Colleen. Cafe Colleen, right? Cafe Colleen, which is different. And that is on the same strip where Arrow Wine is in Arlington. You probably don't know. And lovely little French place. It's the same owners that do Shea Billy Suit in Georgetown. So it was very nice.
Okay.
And had a lovely time and didn't drink that much. Just had a glass of champagne, glass of red. And yet that kept me up a little bit at night, because that's where I am now. Also, earlier, like the day before that, I hurt my back lifting up a bag of Girl Scout cookies. But it was like for the office, so there were like four or five bags. So, you know, a lot. It was like the big delivery thing.
Girl Scout cookies.
Yes. Yes.
Is your daughter in Girl Scout?
She, you know, she was very committed to it for many years. And then, well, she got old, right? But her friend across the street, who's 2 years younger, she was doing the thing. So my daughter wanted back in on the action so they can do it together. And so they sold. So we sold a bunch at the office, which was very nice. Nice. The Adventurefuls are the big hit. Is because it's
that's the new,
you
thing
know this
year.
One you
that's all, well so my daughter is also doing Girl Scouts and the lovely Beth is like the troop leader.
So they went to
a Walmart and were selling cookies. Adventureful is very big. I mean, Thin Mints are still number one. Thin Mints
they are
still
the biggest seller
one.
Almost everywhere. There's
frozen
no surprise.
Thin Mints.
Oh yeah, that's a good one too.
You pop those things in the freezer and
you know Edie's Ice Cream used to do the.
I remember that.
The Thin Mint
the licensing
ice cream.
Fees.
Yes. I do like Samoas. I kind of like, the mint can only take me so far. So I like Samoas. And I like a lot of the peanut butter ones, but I can't have them here at the house because daughter has the peanut allergy. But the Adventurefuls, pretty good stuff. Pretty good stuff.
The s'mores. Have you had the s'mores?
Yes, I have.
Oh, those are good.
Those are very good.
Welcome to Cookie Talk.
I know, sorry, but they really
Girl
are.
Girl Scout
I
Cookie
love them
Talk.
All. I don't, okay, there's, you know what, there's one called Toffee Tastic, not so tastic. And I think it's
a lot of toffee.
It's a lot of toffee, and I kind of
think. Have you had the lemon one?
Yes.
The lemony
there's a glaze
zest or whatever.
There's a glaze on it. If you're into lemon,
it's crazy.
It's kind of nice.
It's nice. Like doing a lemon drop. It's like
rank
going to a bar
cookies.
And doing
oh,
a lemon
the
drop.
Cookies, right.
Rank them.
Number one.
Rank
we should put the girls' links in the Patreon
yeah, that's
post.
It.
People
that's
can
people, man, they would have made a killing. It would have made a kill.
Buy the cookies.
That's right. So I did. Go ahead.
But yeah, no, it's I have to keep them away from me in the house because otherwise I will just go and eat like a half a thing of Thin Mints or whatever.
I'm not eating them at home, but like Harrison bought like $75 worth of cookies for the office, and so it's a whole wide variety. And so in the office, like after lunch, I need to cleanse the palate. You know, and in the afternoon. So I go in there and I'll just
eat a box of Thin Mints.
No, I'll take a little plate and I just a little variety because, you know, I mean, it's like, but it's great because I get to try the ones that I have no desire to or really wanted to, you know, try. So you try everything, which is kind of nice. Yeah. That's it. So, yeah, I hurt my back a little bit. And then there's something wrong with my crown now that I'm a year older in my tooth. So I think I have to get that checked out next week. And then a friend tells me that they've moved up the year to for colonoscopies and such, so that
so it's 49 now.
Yes, thank you. Yes, apparently. So I have to do that now, really? And you got to like drink? I don't know. I have not done it, and everyone's telling me got to do it. I know friends already who have had it done.
Not
are
yet.
Are you 50?
Oh, no. Sonny, I thought you were signaling. I thought you were signaling me.
I was signaling fisting.
Oh, no.
That was
that's later on the show.
No, I was trying, I was trying to make a 50 sign,
it's funny,
but
you know what? I actually,
that's after the local anesthetic has been applied.
I interpreted that as some sort of technical difficulty. No, 49. If anyone's wondering, 49. And I'm like, what am I doing? So I'm not really looking forward to that. Or am
I? Here's a question.
Yes.
Here's a question, Victorino.
Yes, JVL.
So typically in colonoscopy, they just give you a local. They just, you know, they block
right.
It says you're not feeling.
That's right.
Would you rather that, or would you rather
be completely
just
out?
I would like to count backwards from 10 and then just wake up when it's over.
I don't know. I'm kind of curious. I should say it that way.
You want to go watch?
I'm kind of curious. No, no, I don't want to look.
See what's going on
I do
in there.
Not want to look. I don't want to be like Gem. What is it? What is it? Precious. What was that show with Adam Sandler in it? Gemstone.
Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems. The opening is his colonoscopy. Yeah. I don't need to see myself that way. But
no, you know
I don't want to be
You view that as a look. There's a whole OR full of people to make friends with. I talk to the doc, the nurses, the tech.
They're all very
the guy
nice.
Guy running the scope.
Yeah, yeah,
hey,
yeah,
how are you doing? Yeah, Vic Mattis. Nice to meet you.
While I'm
how
bent over.
Yeah.
While I'm bent over. That's like
no, because you're on your side.
Oh, you're on
your
side.
On a,
I don't know.
On a
and
table.
And don't
so
they make
you can
talk
you can
to
be
people
talking,
coming in. And, hey, whatever. That's true. I mean, at some point in time, you're just like,
you can use the whole fist, doc?
You're good. Very good. Very good.
Moon River. Because I bet they've never heard that joke.
What?
I bet nobody has ever said Moon
oh, right,
River
during it
at
there,
the start of a colonoscopy.
Ever since Fletch. Yeah, I don't know. So anyway, that is something I have to look forward to, I guess. Speaking of which, over the weekend, Spider-Man No Way Home clinched the top of the box office with $11 million, followed by Scream with $7.2 million. Scream's back. And in third place, Sing 2 with yet another $4.7 million. So it's just the same three movies. Is that what's happening here?
Yeah.
They're just
well, there's nothing else out. Nothing on. Else.
Nothing
is coming
out.
Nothing
this weekend.
This
box
was supposed
office
to be the
slots.
Weekend.
Sunny.
Yeah, I mean, this was supposed to be the weekend that Morbius came out.
Oh.
And I remain convinced that Sony pushed it to give Spider-Man a chance at beating Avatar. Mm-hmm. Which it's in striking distance. I think it's like 25 million away, but yeah. It's going to be tough because there are two movies coming out this weekend. There's Jackass Forever, which I think is probably going to do pretty well. I would guess that's in the 30 to 40 range. Mm-hmm. And then there's Moonfall, which I don't know. It looks kind of dumb and silly.
Humana.
People might go to it. You know, that might do another 20 to 25.
Is Gerard Butler in Moonfall?
No, it feels like it should be a Gerard Butler movie.
Right?
It has Geostorm vibes to it.
Yes, Moonfall has fallen.
But it is not. It is a Patrick Wilson movie. Patrick Wilson is the Ocean Master and
Patrick,
the guy from the
Patrick Wilson. Who? Where did I just see him in? I can't remember.
You see him in lots of things because he's in everything.
He's
in the Conjuring movies.
Yeah.
He is in he's in Aquaman. He was in Bone Tomahawk. He's in Sinister. One of those movies. He's I don't know.
Yes. Oh, you know what? He's great in that. That movie with Samuel Jackson and they move into the neighborhood and Samuel Jackson's the angry neighbor because Patrick Wilson's. Wife is black, and there's this whole thing going on.
Yeah,
remember that movie Pacific something? Yeah, yeah. What's it called?
Pacific Heights,
but it's
Palisades.
Like that. Yes,
I know the one.
Lakeview Terrace.
There you go.
He's great in that. Well,
and Sam Jackson's a cop, right?
Yes, and terrifying.
Yeah.
And also, Patrick Wilson was in one of the great quadrant movies of all time. Was it Little Children? Is that the one it was with? With Kate Winslet. Is it Kate Winslet? Yeah. She's the neighbors and they're having the affair. Oh, crazy. Anyway.
I don't remember.
Okay. So anyway, this is Moonfall is with Patrick Wilson. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, there's nothing new in the theaters, which is why we have been relegated
to an amazing movie this week.
Reviewing. What is the name of this movie?
After we fell. So for you know all the 40 and 50 some year old housewives who are reading this book, they're going to be so excited for this episode. Our 40 year old female listeners.
This is a very narrowly targeted.
Can't believe
episode.
That we're doing this. So
I want you to. One thing I would like.
Yes,
Vic,
Sonny.
Before we get started.
Yes. Yes.
Is there any way you could explain what has happened in this series before this movie starts? Because it starts in media res. It starts with
it just picks up from where the previous movie after we collided.
A homeless drunk dad has come home.
Yes. Yes.
And two kids who are in college?
Yes, in college.
Are we sure they're in college?
Oh, they're in college.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
In that amazing loft with the subway tile and the stainless steel appliances and the gigantic reclaimed wood barn door.
Life is so hard.
I saw that. I thought they were living in one of their parents' homes.
No, I think I they are. That's what's happening. It's like they're self-hating rich people. You know, in this world, because life is hard. Oh, because, you know, and like the scenes in quote unquote Seattle and other locations. And there's just like, they're not living in Seattle per se. They're living closer to where Bill Gates lives, you know, near Bellevue or wherever. Very fancy. And
they're living in Toronto world. Is where they're living.
Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you.
I believe it's Bucharest.
It is. No,
yeah,
Sofia,
they're living in like
Sofia, Bulgaria. That's exactly where they filmed it.
Same difference.
Victorino,
okay. Toronto, Bulgaria.
Should we have Victorino do the big boy review?
He should do the big boy review and any other reviews that are going to be coming.
Audiences will fall for After We Fell, the sizzling sequel to After We Collided, and boy did they. Job opportunities threaten to split apart Tessa and Hardin. But only one of them will get split apart. Hardin. Nobody says split a lot anyway. That's a rare one.
Stop breaking character.
Hardin assures Tessa he's got her back in the hot tub.
Oh.
And the two work out their frustrations in the gym. It gives a whole new meaning to the clean and jerk. The movie is based on Anna Todd's best-selling books. Reading them made my hand cramp. I read them on the phone. Because she wrote it on Wattpad. I give After We Fell 3 stars. And that's the Critics Corner.
All right.
So what this is, you wanted to know what this is.
I want to understand what has happened in this series before we get to here. Because
okay.
When we were talking about reviewing this, I was like, I don't really know if I want to review the third
installment.
The third installment of like teenage 50 Shades of Grey, which is itself like a knockoff of Twilight. We're back to Twilight, basically. With this age group, and I just didn't understand what was going on. I didn't really understand what was going
on. Anna Todd, who is like a younger version of E.L. James, you know, the woman who did 50 Shades, and also rose to fame similarly with online erotic fiction, basically. But this is it mixes YA and erotic fiction together. So it's really the best of both worlds. And
Vic's second favorite genre after the mixture of YA and erotic fiction and Nazi memorabilia.
Let's not get crazy now. Yes.
After we fell into Ilsa, the SS witch.
Oh my gosh. No, I was going to say YA erotic fiction taking place in World War II. Okay, so... So she does this on something called a platform called Wattpad.
What is this? Is Wattpad?
It's a platform for like your writing your fiction and whatnot. And she got like a billion downloads, a billion for her series from around the world. And it's the story of this budding romance between Tessa and Hardin. And he is the bad boy. And of course, she's the good girl, but they both have daddy issues. You know, her dad's a drunk, and his dad, well, we find out who his dad is, although I always thought it was the dad in the first place, because he has an English accent.
So here's the thing that seemed very obvious in the movie and was treated as a big reveal.
No, it was
like, it's his dad. That's who the guy from True Blood is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, okay, good. So he is somebody familiar. Okay, so I would say what happened in the previous episodes is they met... They fell in love, and there was this amazing shower scene in After We Collided, and that's all you really need to know. That's all I needed to know in order to get to the current movie. So,
tell me what was amazing about the shower scene, Victorino.
Well, it's just wet and wild. And
really? Is there any nudity in it?
Does it need to be? It was up here, right here. That worked.
All right.
Okay.
We're skipping around. We need the big boy review. Give us the big boy review of this movie.
Okay.
That explains everything that has happened before.
As you know, I write out a script for everything, and this you're catching me off guard, so I don't have a script for this.
Just explain the plot. Just tell us the plot.
All right. Well, Tessa and Hardin are both sort of in college. He's not really in college anymore. And she was working for a publishing giant. And they tell, and because they say to her that her writing is amazing. And he thinks that she only got the job because of him, because, you know, he has this connection. In any event, she has an opportunity to go up to Seattle and work with the, take her job over there in Seattle doing this publishing thing. And he doesn't necessarily want to go with her to Seattle. She didn't really mention it to him because there's this awkwardness. They like each other. Not really. He's extremely jealous of her. He wanted to, once he finished school, bring her back to London. So he didn't bother to tell her that, too. So there, she is also friends with this other guy who he thinks wants to get it on with her as well. And that's a very true thing, because it's a very When Harry Met Sally thing when he says, these guys don't want to be your friends. That's actually very, very true. So he's wildly jealous. And then at the end, he follows her to Seattle. They have a great time. Then they don't have a great time. And then he has to go to his mother's wedding in London. Hesitantly, he brings her with her. And in the process, he goes up to London. And the day, the night before his mother's wedding to this new guy, he finds the mother in the kitchen doing it with this guy that he works for. And the guy turns out to be his father. And so they were his parents and he had no idea. The end. Okay, so I do have a quadrant score if you want.
Oh, I'm dying to hear the quadrant score.
I couldn't tell if Sonny froze or if he's just. He's still live.
I'm still trying to.
There's really not much to understand with this. When I will say the plot is an A, there's a wild twist at the end. He's the dad. Okay, duration is an A. It was like an hour 40 something. Okay, action violence is a C+. There's some brawling, but sex nudity, I give it an A-. Because it's all in there. Yes, there is no nudity. And I'm not sure why there isn't, because they go far enough. They go far enough that you see them simulating it and doing it. Like, why doesn't something just pop out? I don't know.
We need to really dig into this.
Yes, because
aspect of the film.
It is, because look, it's on Netflix, so it doesn't really have a rating to it per se.
Because you told us, as you were pitching this review to us, you were like, you know, there are parts of the movie that I've watched a bunch of times.
Yeah,
The implication the implication being that you were watching these on
JVL's gone. Daily Look, JVL's gone. And I legitimately did not mean to say that. I did not mean to say that. Sorry.
And I'm fanning myself.
It's so hot in here now. Actually, I have it playing in the background right there behind the computer.
Because I was
you
watching
were disappointed?
This thing.
You were expecting more meat
and potatoes.
Well, no,
I was just confused. Oh. I was just confused because the way you had described it, you made it sound like a softcore, late night Skinamax type movie.
Well,
that's what you
get,
made this
okay,
movie
yeah,
sound
that's
like.
True. I was.
That's what you made this movie.
I
sound
did.
Like.
I texted and, thoughtlessly. It was a thoughtless text. Yes.
And when I'm watching it, I'm you were expecting so more. Like if mm-hmm. you. It, but it's weird. It's mm-hmm. weird because mm-hmm. it's like so a Skinamax
the acting,
version.
The acting is so, the same level as the softcore.
Let me, all right. So let me just so in the world of you know pornography, right? You've got the hardcore stuff. You've got the hardcore stuff that's on browsers, right?
Mm-hmm. Browsers.
Back in the day, you would have there's like the Skinamax stuff, right? The like softcore stuff and like
Red Shoe Diaries,
or right
Beverly Hills Bordello. I've seen none of them.
And it would be it would be a lot of like top nudity. You would see breasts and buttocks, right? But no, like there was. No
I love the detail of this description.
There's no like penetration.
As Ozzy Osbourne famously said on Howard Stern's show, "There's no meat and potatoes."
There's no meat and potatoes. It's just like kind of they're grinding together, but also she's like topless. So you can be like, "Oh, this is really hot." Ooh. Yeah. All right, but this is like. So if this is like the Skinamax version of a Skinamax movie, in that there's all the grinding and there's thrusting, but they've got all their clothes on. And there's
they
just,
don't have
there's
all
nothing
their clothes
happening.
On.
There's
you see
nothing,
a lot of skin, but no, you don't see actual nudity.
You don't see anything. You think, now, yeah. Look, I'm not...
I like how Sonny's volume is getting louder and louder.
It's not, but I'm very, I'm just, boom. I'm so confused. I'm so confused by this because you were yeah. pitching again. You were yeah, like, I've seen parts of it a bunch of times.
I did. Okay, I was kidding. I was kidding. I saw the trailer. No, I was.
And so I'm, and so as I'm watching this movie, yeah, I'm like, all right, eventually there's going to be some nudity in one of these scenes. And I texted you. I was like, Vic, is there ever going to be any nudity? And you were like, no, there's no. It's really disappointing. Must be something in her contract. And then I thought, I was like, Wait, Vic, do any of the other movies have any nudity in them? And you were like, no, it's all very disappointing. And I'm like, how many times have you watched these softcore scenes?
It's a softcore of a softcore.
It's a derivative of a derivative. We're on a softcore of a softcore. And I was frankly baffled. I was baffled.
Well, you know what?
I was baffled by your attraction.
Yeah, I'm still attracted. I still find it hot. I still find it hot. The gym scene, the pool scene, the hot tub scene. There's some good stuff in
you
here.
You complained about the sex scene in Eternals, and this is just a series of those scenes.
Not at all. They're not doing anything in that. In Eternals, for two superheroes, they're barely moving. Things are happening in this, and it's interesting, and it's just, you know, very few movies that the three of us see for this show things like this. JVL, enough of us speak.
There are five extended sex scenes in this movie, all of which are essentially PG-13. Sonny said, it's a very strange thing to have something that is so graphic without anything graphic.
Graphic.
In it.
It's
like
fascinating. What's
I found myself thinking, who is this for? Now, I think Shades of Grey was for like 50-year-old women.
That's right.
I do not think that any 50-year-old woman would look at this with anything but utter contempt, because this looks like what a 14 or 12-year-old girl pictures college adult life as.
Oh,
there's
I would say older.
Settle down. What they picture college, right? So they, you know, when you're old and you live in you go to college, right. What does that look like? Well, it looks like the subway tile, right?
Visually, sure.
You know, what does it look like getting a first job out of college? Well, you are told that you can have any job you want in the publishing industry, and then they give you a gigantic office. So these things are so unrealistic that I think anybody over the age of, say, 20 or 25 would look at it with utter contempt, because there's nothing hot about it to them. They're like, I have been around the block. This is trash, right?
I can't imagine younger women wanting to that this is geared to them. It's very it's graphic for them. I don't think it's appropriate for
Is this weird fixation on birth control in the movie.
Yes.
Where they are frequently
showing
into getting the condom and ripping the condom open.
Yes.
And so this is, again, I think,
practicing.
Is about how, I gotta be very careful here, younger tween type or young teen girls.
I can't.
Have you just texted something to me,
Sonny? No. This is what I said last night. Well, finish what you're saying.
How they, who are, we hope, God willing, not sexually active.
Yes.
Look at and think about the sex world, right?
Oh my
and
gosh.
Where the funny thing is, you know, they are so far removed from the reality of it that the big pregnancy scare, there's a moment where they do it, and then she's like, the next morning she's like, you know, we didn't have protection. And instead of being freaked out like, holy fuck, you could wind up pregnant,
the
pregnancy scare in this idealized version of sex is that she finds out when she goes to get the pill that maybe she can never get pregnant.
That's right.
And you know what? This is not a thing that, like, you know, drunk girls who are banging it out at age 22 would look around and think is a realistic view of sexual activity.
Thank God there's something wrong with my cervix, because I think that's what the doctor says.
No, this is what I texted you guys two nights ago. Victorino, this is a movie aimed at 16-year-old girls. That's why the scenes have no actual. That's why the scenes have no actual nudity. It's all female wishful. It's all female girl wish fulfillment.
I think it's way too graphic for 16-year-olds.
No, I don't think so.
Oh my gosh!
I got to be very, very careful.
No, I mean they're moving. You know,
I think that this is a
gym scene.
Fascinating look into what constitutes as erotica for teenage boys versus teenage girls, because teenage boys need Shannon Tweed, right? They want Skinamax. They want something in which there is absolutely no plot. And it's just, you know, it's like it's a girl taking her boobs out every 10 minutes, right? That's that's what they want. That's they could care less about
this
anything
is the height
else.
Of cinema.
Right?
And
this is the height of cinema. This
and
is what
for girls
Pasolini was in.
What's really hot is like the tatted up bad boy jealous boyfriend who's a drunk but who also turns out to actually he's okay. I know he seems like a jealous bad boy, but it's okay. And we have, you know, there's some career ambitions involved in it and there's family dynamic and they'll what's happening to them is they're into.
Are you telling me I have the
fascinating?
Are you telling me I have the mind of a 16-year-old girl? Is that what
it's fascinating? It's fascinating that Vic is into this.
Oh,
I was very fascinated by that.
It definitely can't be. It definitely.
What was the overall quadrant score, Vic?
Oh, it's like an A-, a B+, 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 B+.
Yeah.
It was good.
The quadrants are a sham.
No,
the quadrants
not
are
at
a
all.
Sham. You gave this movie with no actual nudity, with just a bunch of teasing.
It's called
an
sex
A-.
It's
edging.
Sex. It's sex slash nudity.
Aspect
not
of it.
Sex and nudity. It's sex slash nudity. And they're having sex. I mean, you clearly need to see the ins and outs, Sonny. I know that. You know, good luck. Great. That would be on the Brazzers podcast, which, by the way, those quadrants, completely different. Duration is like the reverse. It has to be longer. You get negative points for shorter. It's got to be longer.
So I think
action violence or certain acts that can be interpreted as violent. I'm just going to say
this
that.
This is the step between Twilight and 50 Shades as girls are graduating up into adult rights. So because Twilight, remember, I have not read the Twilight books, but I remember talking with a friend who was a parent of a teenage girl who was reading the books as her daughter was reading. And I remember her saying to me, you know, by book five, I was just like, won't you two just fuck already? Mm. Like, you know, mm-hmm. like, this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Because all will they, won't mm-hmm. they, will they, won't they. Mm-hmm. This, forget the will they, want. They're just doing it all. You know, it is planned out, again, almost like porn. We're going to have five standalone sex scenes. Those are the set pieces of the movie that everything mm-hmm. else is fitted in around. But it still is, it's sex from the perspective of somebody who is very unfamiliar with actual sex and adult life.
Well, it's like it's
then you get to to 50 Shades, and 50 Shades is an idealized version of somebody who missed out on all that and had a normal life, who wants to look back and imagine what it could have been. It
could have been if they just had something beyond normal traditional sex, but took it to the next level.
If they didn't just marry the nice guy when they were 29, what could it have been like? And I find that a fascinating very sad journey for women. I hope that this is not... I would like to think that this is a sign of the patriarchy disserving women in terms of what their entertainment choices are.
I also think it's interesting. I can see how they would have pitched.
Where does
this
Sex and the City fall into this?
Yeah. I think that's different. I mean, Sex and the City is, I think,
it's like a different
within the
time.
Shades of Gray universe, right? But also, it's ongoing, and it's not the books, and you know. Honestly, the realest version of all this stuff is actually Bridget Jones. Like, Bridget Jones is honestly the highbrow version of this because it's.
But they don't
about
show
actual
anything in
life.
That.
No, I know they don't show. Oh, Jesus.
But it's just because it's a romantic comedy. It's not an erotic thriller.
I need.
No, the books, the Bridget Jones books are not romantic comedy. Girl books. They're not erotic or anything, but they are, you know, they are relationship books for girls. Yeah.
What I think is interesting is that I wonder how they pitched this on to Netflix. Like, listen, she's had a billion downloads And so there's
it'll cost $3 million per movie.
And it's a built-in audience, and it's going to cost nothing because what we're going to do is we're going to hire actors who actually look like other actors. So it'll remind them of, because they can't actually afford the big-name actors. That girl, Josephine, I forget her name, who plays
Tessa.
Who does
she look like?
Brie Larson. She looked like Brie Larson. That's who she looked
like
to me.
Oh, yeah. And he looks a little bit like
Hayden
a younger Hayden.
Hayden Christensen.
Wow.
Right? So
Victorino, get out of my head.
And then her dad kind of looked like Hugh Jackman in a weird way. I was like, wait a minute, are they kind of, wait, what's happening here?
I thought her dad was Julian McMahon.
It's not.
Who's the guy from Nip Tuck and the Fantastic Four, the Fantastic Four movies. He played Dr. Doom.
Okay.
He's actually Australian. It's like a fatter version of that. But then the other dad, his dad, his secret dad, is the guy from True Blood. That was his. Okay. He was like the lead on True Blood for 8 years
and
or whatever.
Also, the very beginning of that movie, when you see when she's a little girl, the mother, that's Mira Sorvino. I did not know.
Victorina, don't talk in hushed tones like that. That's insulting.
What are you?
She's the same age as you. Mira Sorvino is the same age as you, and she looks great. She has not done Famke Janssen level stuff to her face.
Oh, you know what? She didn't look too bad, Famke Janssen. No. So, don't bring her into it. She's fine. So that's what I thought is how they sold it, is because they were able to get people who look like other actors.
I have to say, yeah. I don't know about you guys. So I did not enjoy college. I hated college, the worst 4 years of my life.
Yes,
but I very much enjoyed my 20s. Thought my 20s was great. Mm-hmm. My 30s was great. Mm-hmm. My 40s been great. This made your 20s. I understand they're in college, but this made that look so exhausting and unappealing.
Yeah.
I just thought
a lot of self-absorption.
Good Lord, this looks hideous. Mm-hmm. You could not pay me to go and live in this world.
I was reminded when they talked about how, and she's this bright, star in publishing. Her writing is really good. And two things came to my mind. One is Anne Hathaway in Devil Wears Prada, where she wants to be a serious journalist. So she doesn't want to work for the Anna Wintour character, but rather she wants to work at, like a hard newspaper, like a real newspaper doing gritty reporting. And the story they keep on mentioning in Devil Wears Prada is, your piece on the janitor's union. that piece on the janitor's union. And I'm like, wow, that must have been some piece on the janitor's union. And the second one, which is even more ridiculous, is St. Elmo's Fire, which is a great movie about Georgetown. But Andrew McCarthy, of course, is the sort of the struggling artiste writer, right? He's got all these thoughts and he wants to be an author and a writer. And at the end, and he just graduated from school, right? He just graduated from college. And at the end of the movie, they finally published my column, right? And he has a column on the front page of the Washington Post. Because that's what they do. They publish columns on the
For Georgetown
Washington
kids,
Post.
It is what they
for the
do.
Georgetown kids. That was below the fault, but still. And then when they show his column, the headline of the column is "The Meaning of Life." That's it. Just the meaning of life. It's just so ridiculous. Okay, I do have a question for you because
I have a question as well.
I have a question. Okay, the hot tub scene, which I think is it's they don't show it, but it's pretty good. And I would say that hot tub scene is factually also it's misinformation, isn't it, JVL?
In what sense?
Well, you don't actually need to wear a
protection. Oh yeah, you can't get pregnant when you do it in a hot tub. That's just like you can't get pregnant when you're upside down. You can't get pregnant when you do it standing up.
What depends on how much chlorine's in there?
Yeah, well, two reasons. One, the water is normally very, very hot, which is why they tell you it's not good for guys to spend a lot of time in a hot tub because the temperature is too high. It's very bad for you, right? Down there. Temperature is high and chlorine. So I think it was completely unnecessary. That's the other thing. The other thing is I did get I was amused by, first of all, the writing is amazing in this movie. And right before it happens, what does he say to her? Because he has her back and he says, trust me.
I wonder, does that mean he's going back door on it?
No, you know what? Let me just, no, I'm going to say no.
I did wonder, because that's a weird, there are weird dialogue choices in this.
It is a weird dialogue choice. And let me say this, though. I've used that line, and trust me, it did not work out well for the victim. So
there's another scene in this where they're in a restaurant, and we get 45 seconds worth of dialogue with them ordering off the menu.
Where, you know, people, they're literally going around the table and like, yeah, I'll have the cedar plank salmon with the potatoes and the green beans. Yeah.
Well, this movie is the first movie I've ever watched.
She gets to her and she's like, I don't know, what would you recommend? I just sat to myself like, how did this scene get through development?
I should have just.
This is a good idea. We should have
known this would
five different people ordering food in a restaurant.
I could have written this. Sonny, what were you saying?
I was just saying that this is the only Netflix movie I've ever used the 1.5 times speed option on. I got through this thing in like an hour.
I just fast forwarded to like three scenes.
Which is apparently what you've done with all these movies, what you do with all of them all the time, apparently, because you just want to watch them over and over again, these softcore scenes.
All right, here's my question.
We've just created a term. Yes,
to both of you. If you could only lock either Tessa or Harnden into a Saw-style murder room, which would you choose? You can't do both. You only get to lock one of them into the Saw torture
easily
murder
the guy.
Room.
Easily
yeah,
the guy.
Yeah, he's way more annoying.
Although he is the nephew of Rafe and Joe Fiennes, just so you know.
Good for him.
Because that's why his name is
Hero.
Hero Fiennes Tiffin or something. Yes. And he clearly takes more after Joseph than Rafe. I'm sorry, that's not fair. Okay. Thank you. This was good. I will say this. I started watching Pam and Tommy on Hulu.
Yeah, do they cheat you on the meat potatoes for that?
Of course, but it's amazing. Just my thought. Nick Offerman's in it, and he's fantastic. I was in stitches. Okay. Who knows what we will do next week? Very exciting stuff. Anything else, you
Moonfall.
Guys?
Moonfall. Fingers crossed for Moonfall.
I'd rather, literally anything.
People were talking about Nightmare Alley, and if it's not too late, that's also something I'd be willing to check out. Okay.
I feel like we're going to need to keep things in reserve because so much stuff is being held out of theaters again because everyone's.
Hey, you know what's a good movie that we're going to talk about on the bonus episode? David Mamet's Heist.
Heist.
So you guys should stick around for that because the bonus show on Heist is going to be lit.
Exciting. The plot quadrant is, I don't know. We'll stay tuned. Okay, that's all the time we're giving to this episode. Questions, comments, compliments, tweet us at Sonny Budge, at Victorina Mattis. Again, be sure to subscribe to us on Patreon. Just go to subbeacon.com. We're there. Tell your friends. Until next time. I got nothing. What do you
I got nothing.
Wow.
Heist? Should we just go to Heist?
Heist is going to be amazing. We need to talk about this briefly about Heist.
Yeah.
Heist is a Devil's Peak, no, Dante's Peak
Dante's
volcano
Peak because
deep impact Armageddon movie. Because there were two movies called Heist, right? One with De Niro.
No.
But there was another movie almost exactly like this same year, right?
Heist and The Score came out the same year, or six months on different sides of different years. But like, it was like one of them starred Marlon Brando and Ed Norton and Robert De Niro. And then the other one starred Gene Hackman and Delroy Lindo and Sam Rockwell.
And
shockingly, the Robert De Niro, Marlon Brando one got more play, even though I think Heist is generally accepted to be better.
I did not see the score. Did you like it?
I saw it 20 years ago when it came out. Yeah, I liked it. It was fine.
Okay.
I'm sure it's fine.